Philadelphia Phillies of 1946. Hopefully, I have filled in all of the items of importance that you wished to know. And on your question of number one, in 1942, the Los Angeles Angels was managed by Arnold Jigger Stats, S-T-A-T-Z. Stats also played some games in 1942 as our center fielder. Our 1942 team had Gilly Campbell and Harry Land and Al Todd catching, Eddie Wakus and Wimpy Quinn at first base. But Quinn was sent out. Roy Hughes, was at second, and Elmer Mowry, a reserve infielder. Bill Schuster was at shortstop, and Eddie Mayo at third base. And in the outfield, we had Peanuts Lowry in left field, Barney Olson in center field, too, and Johnny Moore in right field. The pitching department consisted of Ray Prim, Ken Raffensperger, Don Osborne, Pete Mowry, Paul Gearman, Red Lynn, Red Adams, Jess Flores, Jody Phipps, and Orrin Baker. These players won 7 consecutive exhibition games against the parent Chicago team in spring training. Roy Hughes was a Tony Perez to the Los Angeles Angels and or a Joe Morgan in performance with the Houston ball club. Just team morale, a great individual effort, and a complete team execution, a performance. Successful game-winning achievements occurred at the moment or proper game time to become victorious. All team players really enjoyed a profession they loved and performed their duties, responsibilities, with character. And these tributes gained team success, a desire for victory. Jimmy Wilson, your number two question, again, Jimmy Wilson was concrete on player acceptance and performance. In his mind, to lose consecutive games would not alter his player and lineup personnel. Poor philosophy and adjustment, and do it my way. But Charlie Grimm was jovial, relaxed, good judgment of everyday lineup players, straightaway ball playing was Grimm's theory. And play it hard and to do your best professional ability. Grimm recognized slumps of players, injuries, and welcomed player constructive information for team success. Wilson would not mention a kind greeting. Wilson could have a roster as at present positions of a kind of this kind. First base, say, Hank Greenberg, who hit 58 homers. Second base, Dave Johnson of Atlanta, who hit 43 homers. Third base, Eddie Matthews of Milwaukee, who hit 47 homers. Shortstop, Ernie Banks of the Cubs, who hit 47 homers. Left field, Ralph Kiner of Pittsburgh, who hit 54 homers. Center fielder, Hack Wilson of the Cubs, hit 56 homers. In right field, Roger Maris of the Yankees, hit 61 homers. And catching Roy Campanella of Brooklyn, who hit 41 homers. And the pitcher with Wes Farrell of the Cleveland Indians, who hit 9 homers. And he would not know who to play or where. I think that'll take care of Wilson. Now, your number three question with Lenny Morello. Morello did have playing periods when he would tighten up and an unnatural playing form, and also his hitting was affected. Morello was fortunate to be a Jim Gallagher's boy. That's general manager Jim Gallagher of the Cubs. I performed down the stretch end of the season, even in the next to the last game of 1945 at Pittsburgh, when we clinched the pennant against Fritz Ostermuller. 3-2, final score. I moved Stan Hack from first base to third with a hit to right center field, and Cabaretta scored Hack with the winning run. My season play enduring our neck-and-neck standing with the Cardinals that year should gain some managerial recognition, although I never thought of any individual achievements at the time, because daily achievements in my uniform on the field was for my team to win, and win any way possible. Morello and I were, and are, good friends. Morello could not steal bases with me, nor hit and run with me. Our par at bat about equal. Batting averages are recorded. Morello had a stronger arm than mine, but not as accurate. Morello could not execute the plays that I did. Morello was a one-position player, and I played several positions and very well. World Series play is the goal for all winning, playing-minded major league players. This was always my thinking of goal of expectations. I made it and extremely happy of our gainful, victorious performance. Our manager, Charlie Grimm, deserved tremendous credit for success because he kept we players together and relaxed to perform daily our capabilities. Number four, about Bill Schuster. Bill Schuster and I were teammates for 4 years, 2 years at Los Angeles and 2 years with the Cubs. Schuster would surprise you at any moment in the clubhouse or on the field. If the visiting dugout was on the first base side and Schuster grounded out and was thrown out at first base, he would sit on top of the visiting dugout roof and sometimes climb the backstop screen. His team nickname was Monkey on a String, or Sabu, Sabu the Ape. Red Lynn, one of our pitchers, was touchy, goosey, you know, and Schuster would consistently play pranks on Lynn to get Lynn to swing at or hit objects before Lynn. One night in Brooklyn, after our game, Lynn and myself were showering together in one stall and all soaped up, lathered up. And here comes Schuster to the stall, and right in front of Lynn. So I just said, "There he is, Red." And Red hit Schuster when I touched Lynn, and soap suds bubbles flew for 5 minutes. He smacked at Schuster. Schuster got the message and did not touch Lynn after that episode. Before this Brooklyn happening, we, Los Angeles, were playing Hollywood at Hollywood. Hollywood had us beaten by 6 or 7 runs in the 9th inning with 2 outs. Roy Joyner, a left-hand pitcher for Hollywood, was pitching, and Schuster was hitting. Schuster attempted to bunt for a hit, but got thrown out at first base in the 3rd out of the ballgame. Schuster crossed the pitcher's mound, and he said something to Joyner. I don't know what was said. And Joyner swung once, and Schuster was draped over the pitcher's rubber. Schuster was not hurt. Joyner's hand swelled, and he lost a few starting assignments from the skin fracture from Schuster's teeth and from the blow by Joyner. This accident was a publication. We went to Portland to start a 21-day road trip, and pregame practice, Schuster was out on the field, and he got ribbed by John Gill, an outfielder for Portland, who yelled, "Hey, Sabu, I hear you bit Joyner, and you have to take a saliva test." Now, your number five question. My favorite parks in the American and National Leagues were Lake Park in Cleveland. That's the old park where we first started to play before they moved down to the stadium. We did play part of the games in 1935 at the stadium, but we played practically the whole season at Lake Park. then Sportsman's Park at St. Louis, Fenway Park in Boston, and Griffith Stadium in Washington, Polo Grounds in New York, and Connie Mack Stadium in Wrigley Field. These fields had good backgrounds, and I just had success with base hits. I loved Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Fair hitting success there. Great fielding ground, and base paths offered a cushion that inspired a player and your feet and legs just to run. It just seemed to spring, and you didn't tire running on that infield. The returning players from the service naturally caused player rosters to exceed league and team personnel, so players were moved to satisfy all departments. Ben Chapman would yell to me, and he would yell, "I'm going to get you. I'm going to acquire you, get my contract." I would say, "Okay, Ben, just so you pay me." I became a Philly. However, in 1945 and 46, the Pirates were dissatisfied with many league rulings. They, the Pirates, were ready to strike and contacted other clubs to follow. We, the Phillies, entertained the movement, but Benny Bengal and I discussed the situation and player violations according to our signed contracts recorded in the Commissioner Ford Frick's office. For players to strike and not perform player duties would create a violation and penalties. Bengal suggested a pension plan. We, the Phillies, held a meeting with the manager, excluded. A plan was worked up tentatively. We left on a road trip to St. Louis first. Marty Marion, the team captain of the Cardinals, was confronted by me, and our Philly meeting was divulged to him. Marty called a clubhouse meeting immediately, and the St. Louis players were for the pension plan. This pension plan reached all teams rapidly. Ford Frick's office was contacted. All club officials were rapidly contacted. Each club appointed a player representative. Frick called a meeting of the player representatives to his office, and each representative presented their player or club grievances and a program proposal. The club owners and players agreed on the pension proposal. Clubs and players made initial agreed-upon payments in 1946. Equitable life insurance was selected because many major insurance companies were not prepared to indulge, negotiate, or accept such a plan. My first minutes of these meetings and formation of the pension fund is in my file to date, complete. Dixie Fred Walker was selected as our league for player representative. To assist your program and point of information, I'm happy to supply you, Kit, with the recent increase in payment to the retirees, the pioneers of the pension fund. Again, and as of March 1980, I pursued this increase by asking Marvin Miller to make a plea to club management and present the inclusive program to leagues and clubs in behalf of the retiree. Enclosed is evidence of the job done. A very grateful and appreciative thank you from me to the Major League Baseball and everyone who so graciously had the old-timers or retirees in their good thoughts. Many players have expressed their sincere gratitude. And you're number 7. Brooklyn traded me to Chicago for Augie Gallant. Chicago sent me to Los Angeles in 1942 and 43. You can refer to the scrapbook, Kit, because in there you will find day in and day out game scripts and all information of every place I went. So, on September the 10th of 1943, Chicago purchased my contract. Charlie Graham wanted to retain me. Servicemen, five of them, returned to the roster and exceeded the player limit. Ben Chapman, every time we played the Phillies, would constantly yell, "I'm a going to get you." The price was right, so I lost my cub hide and became a Philly, and again, against Charlie Grimm's decision. Please don't quote this. Grimm had a hate passion for Jim Gallagher, the general manager. Now, you're number eight. These returning servicemen were welcomed with open arms by the club players, and all kind personal omens were bestowed by each of the Cub player. Intrusion by these service players never entered my mind. San Juan named a ball field, their stadium down there, in honor of High Beathorn. McCullough, Clyde McCullough, he owned several apartment buildings in Maryland to date, and Beathorn is deceased now. Cy Block is in the insurance business in Rochester now. Cy, on June the 13th of 1980, is in great shape. He tripped over first base and scared hell out of 46,000 people at the old-timers game, just an obstacle in the path of a pursuing base runner. Poor Cy. These service players played very little, none, in our pennant drive of 1945. You're number nine. The 1945 lineup listed by you was sound at each position. Bill Nicholson did not have his good year. I got cut by Ron Northey and lost playing time. Cavaretta suffered a minor injury briefly, but in 10 days resumed his consistent daily performance. This club was solid, from manager, coaches, players, and even trainer Andy Lotshaw. Grimm told us to get our team plays together with one another and win every damn game possible. These orders were clubhouse meetings. Rare was a clubhouse meeting called by Grimm. A player read the lineup card, and at that, you knew who set this one out. Grimm would tell a player, tired player, "Sit this one out and rest." This he insisted on, meaning, when he said rest, no running, no hitting, no fielding. Just use your head in a manner during the play of the game that you may discover an opponent move that we could use in our execution of play for victory and defeat our opponent. The Chicago Cubs were considerate with me, treated me in every professional manner with pride, and responded graciously for a job done. The fans and organization of the club, Cubs, have and will continue to receive from me every good, successful wish possible. Kid, I hope I've answered what you wanted. And here I have, I hope the embodied is what you want. Sorry for such a delay. People, intruders, weddings, and so forth. Today, by 1 o'clock, there were four people in this house bothering me. There is much, much more, if you need, that I have here in the scrapbooks, even of the 44, 45, and the Philadelphia 46. If you care to, I'll be happy to put them in UPS and send them on their way to you. And as I say here, I'll forward these scrapbooks to you. Please search the 1943, 42, and 43 book for anything that's in there. And it's in there by the day in and day out play, kid. So dig through there, and anything you can add in your behalf to assist your program will make me happy. And happy reading, and I know my records are by daily play. visitation of public places and so forth. Just read on and on. And there's no hurry, Kit, to return these items. Just use them and get all that compiled information from far back in baseball history. Good luck to you, Kit. Bye for now.